We are 8 lines down from the top of Mem Vav Amud Aleph. We're continuing along the same lines of the discussion we had before about the status of the mountain and what's on top of the mountain. We mentioned before about the glaze. Is the glaze considered part of the mountain or not part of the mountain? And then we had a discussion about a tree which was planted initially not for the sake of idolatry, and only afterwards it was used for idolatry. What's the status? So now we have a similar discussion. Tani Tana Kamei D'Rav Sheshes. They taught the following Tosefta in front of Rav Sheshes. Ha'akum ha'ovdim es ha'harim ves ha'gvaos, hein mutarim, ve'ovdeyen b'sayiv. A non-Jew who serves the mountains, he idolizes the mountain, he uses it as or for idolatry. The harim and the gvaos are mutar b'hana, you can still get benefit from it, as we've stated already from the Mishnah. However, those who worship the mountains, this is a new idea, those who worship the mountains, they're killed. They're liable to the death penalty. And it's an obvious statement, because anyone who serves Avodah Zarah would be liable to the death penalty. It's capital punishment. It's very explicit in the Torah. Of course, a Jew would need Edim, witnesses, and Hasra, and warning. But it applies to Jew and non-Jew alike. As Rashi says, the B'nai Noach nitztavu al avodas kochavim. A non-Jew is not allowed to worship idols as well. We've discussed this throughout the Masechta. We've even discussed all the way in the beginning about the status of Christianity. Is Christianity considered Avodah Zarah or not considered Avodah Zarah? And just to recap, we said that Christianity is not considered Avodah Zarah for Christians, but it is considered Avodah Zarah for Jews. And that's how we're able to reconcile that non-Jews are still allowed to have this. Non-Jews are still allowed to worship. Christians are allowed to continue worshiping their religion because it's only shituf, which is not considered avodah zarah for them. But a Jew would not be allowed to worship. That shituf is usur for Jews. But that's not the focus of the Gemara over here. The Gemara is just pointing out, for the time being, that someone who worships it would be liable to the death penalty. Specifically, the Gemara mentions besayif with the sword, meaning a beheading. A beheading is a specific requirement or for a ben noach, a non-Jew who doesn't keep the seven Noahide laws. Traditionally, the punishment would be, the capital punishment would be a beheading. There are other capital punishments that apply to Jews, like stoning or pouring hot lead down the throat, etc. But specifically for a non-Jew, beheading is the requirement. Anyhow, that's a side point. Amarle. So they said to Rav Sheshes said to them, "Da amar lachamani, who told this halacha to you that if you worship the mountains, it's still put mutar b'hana?" So he said, "Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda hi." This is Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda's statement. "Da amar ilan shenatu ulbasof avdo aser," that he said that a tree which is planted not for the sake of avodah zarah and only afterwards it was used for avodah zarah, it would still be aser. Oh, I skipped a line. I see. The Gemara, the Braisa, the Tosefta mentions es hazroim es hayirakos. If the idolater worships the seeds and the vegetables, the vegetation that was planted on the mountain, those hein asurim, they're asur b'hana. And those that worship it again will be killed. So the Gemara says, who's of the opinion that the vegetation would be prohibited to get benefit from? So this must be Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a tree which is planted not for the sake of avodah zarah and only afterwards it's used for avodah zarah, it's still aser. So you see, it follows Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. But the Gemara says, well, hold on a second. Why do we have to only establish this Tosefta according to Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda? V'lokma b'ilan shenatu mitchilu lakach v'rabanan. Why don't we establish this Tosefta to go l'divrei hakol, to according to the Rabbanan? And according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, say that this case was a tree that was, the vegetation was planted for the sake of Avodah Zarah, and that is why it's prohibited to get benefit from. Let's not have to deal with talking about a case where it was planted not for the sake of Avodah Zarah initially and then afterwards it was, but that only would comport with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So the Gemara says, Lo Salak Tayatach, we can't say that this Tosefta follows even the Rabbanan's opinion. We can't establish the case as planting it, the vegetation, initially for the sake of Avodah Zarah. Why? Dikatani Dumya Dahar, because it was written in the same context as the case of a mountain. And what does that mean? Ma, what's the implication? Mahar shelo natu mitchilo lekach, just like a mountain which was not originally planted for the sake of avodah zarah. Why? Because when God created the world, it put the mountains there. It wasn't made for avodah zarah. So af hainami shelo natu mitchilo lekach. So too, the other cases have to be similar to a mountain, just like the mountain wasn't initially for the sake of avodah zarah. So too, the vegetation also wasn't planted initially for avodah zarah. Therefore, we must be talking about a case where it was not initially planted for avodah zarah, and only afterwards it was used for avodah zarah, and it's still usher because it follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Again, no halacha here, just trying to associate or establish a brisa or a tosefta according to another opinion. Okay, so now we go on a different subject, but similar. Itmar, we have another machlokas. Avnei har sheni daldalu. Let's say you have a stone from a mountain that got dislodged. Now, question is that stone usher to get benefit from or not? Is it considered part of the mountain or now it's not considered part of the mountain? And we have to clarify, as Rashi points out, that the stone was dislodged by itself. It wasn't done by human intervention. It just, on its own, it cracked and it fell off. So now, is this considered avodah zarah or not avodah zarah? Or let's rephrase that. Is it considered avodah zarah, which is usher to get benefit from, or not? B'nei Rabbi Chiya v'Rabbi Yochanan. It's a machlokos between the sons of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan. Chadamar asuros v'chadamar mutaros. My time medmandamar mutaros. What's the rationale for the opinion who says that it's mutter? So now we're going to spend a little bit of time focused on the Isser opinion, and we'll get to the mutter opinion, and we'll get to the other opinion in a little bit. Mahar she'ein bo tfisas yidei adam umutar, af hani she'ein ben tfisas yidei adam umutarim. So just like a mountain where there's no human intervention, and therefore we say that even though it's worshipped, it's still permissible to get benefit from. So too, hani, these stones, there was no human intervention, it dislodged on its own, therefore it would still be mutar to get benefit from, even if it's worshipped. But the Gemara says, hold on a second, that's not necessarily a great proof. Malahar shekein mechuber. But hold on a second, a mountain is attached to the ground. Maybe that's why we said the mountain is permissible to get benefit from, but this stone is dislodged. So therefore, since it's dislodged, it's a different category now. It should be prohibited to get benefit from. The Gemara answers, no, it's still permissible to get benefit from. Why? Behema tochech. Because we can use the case of an animal to prove it. Which is what? That a behema is not attached to the ground, and nevertheless, when an animal is worshipped, it's still permissible to get benefit from. Because it's no tfisas of the Adam. It was just, there was no human intervention in that case. But the question is, well, hold on a second, you can't compare a behema to a stone. Malo behema shekein balas chayim. Well, a behema is a living being, but not a rock, not a stone. And therefore, you can't compare the two. Gemara says, "Har yochiach." Well, a mountain can use that angle can be proved by the mountain, which is not a living thing. And therefore, the Gemara says, "V'chazer adin lo riizeh kriizeh v'lo riizeh kriizeh." They're not exactly analogous, but there is a common denominator. Has tzara shevesh repen. What is the common denominator between all these three things? Between a stone, an animal, and a mountain? She'ein ben tfisas yidei adam. There's no human intervention. Umutar. And permissible to get benefit from, af kol she'ein menfitzas the adam mutter. So too, anything else like a stone, which has no human intervention, should be permissible to benefit from. Obviously, if there was human intervention, if someone pulled the stone out of the mountain, different story, would be prohibited. But the Gemara says, "Well, hold on a second. That's not necessarily a good tzara sheva shebehen. The common denominator is faulty. Why? Male hatzara sheva shebehen shekein lo nishtanu mibriyasan." Still, there's a difference between an animal and a mountain versus a stone. A stone changed from its original status. A mountain never changed and an animal never changed. Therefore, you can't compare the two to the stone. The Gemara says, well, we can come up with a case where there is a change. Ela asya mi behema bailas mum. How about an animal which got a blemish? So a change from a tam, something that was a tamim, that was pure, and it became a blemished. And it's still permissible to get benefit from, so to a rock or a stone. Bailas mum umehar. Vi'inami mi behema tama vi'ume ilan yavesh. I can also prove it not only from an animal which has no blemishes, but even a withering tree. Same thing. So it's changed its status because it's not healthy as it used to be. It's dry, it's drying up, but nevertheless, it's still permissible to get benefit from. So to a rock which was dislodged would be permissible to get benefit from. So that is the opinion about why it's mutter, according to one that says it's mutter, to get benefit from a rock that has been dislodged on its own.